Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Infectious Groove Podcast, part of the Odd Pods Media Network. Recorded from Detroit, Michigan and Jacksonville, Florida. The Infectious Groove Podcast is your source for jammy jams, album reviews, and the best in-depth music discussion. Thanks for joining us. Now here are your hosts.
Well, hello there. My name is Russ, and you are listening to the Infectious Groove Podcast. And oh boy, do we have a good one for you this week. Because first of all, the trouble's just going to make its way in right now. Michelle returns to the program. Michelle, how are things?
They
It's like that donut meme you see.
Day-eye donuts.
Michelle is back with us this week and also coming to the program for a return shot who caused me to reference his last appearance like four or five times after it happened last time because it was such a funny occurrence to me. But that is our friend Dave from the Beer in Front podcast. How's things going, brother?
Oh, doing well. Thanks. Nice to meet you, Michelle, since it's the first time we've, you know, met and talked during this. So, and Russ, nice to see you again and congratulations again.
Thank you, sir. And yeah, I appreciate you saying congratulations. It's weird that my co-host didn't, but I greatly appreciate that you did just now.
What happened?
Oh, did you not see on the internet? I mentioned it a few times. We, Lauren and I got married this past weekend.
I don't recall. Posted something about it?
We posted it on social media at least once.
On Facebook.
Yes, which?
MySpace, yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It was on MySpace.
Oh, you didn't see my LiveJournal update?
No, I saw that.
Okay, yeah, I bet you did. So the reason we have gathered ourselves here and asked you to listen to it is because this week's topic is going to be, do artists' personal lives matter? Now, we have danced around this topic a little bit over time. In the first year of the show, we had a discussion about artists being canceled and like how severe that should be and our thoughts on artists being canceled. And of course, over time, I personally have spoken a lot about the issue with Michael Jackson and so on, but we're actually not even going to get into that all too much, the MJ thing, but we kind of thought we'd go right to the source this time and talk about artists' personal lives and so more or less the things that they can be doing or being brought to light to end up getting themselves canceled or maybe have an effect on you as a listener. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the program. So that should be fun. Before we get to that, we have feedback and jammy jams to get to. So let's get right into it.
Feedback, Joe.
Don't worry about that. Right. Rock and roll be without feedback.
Before we get into feedback on the last couple of podcast episodes, one thing I want to mention is that the YouTube channel continues to cook along and we have reached over 2,000 subs on the YouTube channel now, which is awesome. And we...
Submarines.
Yes. 2,000 submarines.
Submissive?
Yeah. That's
yellow submarines?
Yes. All right. So it was at the 3:24 mark that Michelle sent us off the rails. All right. I just like to keep track of those type of things.
Are they all like off the coast of Jacksonville, all these subs? Like,
correct.
How does that work?
Hey, Dave?
Yeah?
Please don't encourage her.
Okay, got it.
Thanks.
Don't listen to him. Yeah. He's not the boss of you.
Yeah.
So over on our YouTube channel, we have a bunch of people leaving us suggestions for new videos and ideas for videos. And we had somebody say that we should start doing like five greats from each city, right? Seeing as like my home city is Detroit and you can't really argue with the music heritage there, places like Chicago, New Orleans and whatnot. So that will be coming to our channel soon. And another series that got suggested to us that'll be coming soon is five great covers of, which came from a listener of this show was like, you know, you guys keep doing these covers that I've never heard that are great. So you should start a series of like, hey, I bet you didn't know there were these five great covers of Aerosmith or whatever.
How about, yeah. I bet you didn't know the song was a cover.
Hey, you know how for like 3 years now I've wanted to get you on the YouTube channel, Michelle? How about if you do at least one video of you not knowing certain songs were covers?
Pass. I'm not camera ready.
Boy, you can say that again. Zing. So, I swear to God, I was waiting for you to shut your camera off and just leave.
That's an option?
No, thank you. Well, in a way, you do that every other week. So,
how many episodes do we have left?
I don't know off the top of my head. Six or seven. You have like four because you're doing like half of them. So, you know what I should do? I should come up with like a Google Sheets doc and send you the link so that you can. Oh, wait a minute.
Why haven't you done that for the past 3 years?
I have done that for the past 3 years. Regarding our recent episode covering Billie Eilish's record, Happier Than Ever, we have a little bit of feedback to share. The BTFYW podcast wrote in simply, we admit that Billie Eilish is definitely an amazing talent. Like, no comment one way or the other. Just wanted to mention that they admit that Billie Eilish is an amazing talent.
I mean, that's a step in the right direction.
Right. Our friend Seth, who is salty as all salty gets out, but because he cannot stand Billie Eilish and refuses to give that album a try, said...
That's okay. She's better than Beyonce.
Oh, boy. First of all, let me stop off and say I agree with you, but I feel like...
That?
I feel like the way you said that was unnecessary.
Wow. Also, he's going to come at you for that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm very aware. That's why I hesitated for a second. Having said that, Seth writes in, great first half of the podcast, you know, on account of not wanting to listen to
the... Before you get to the Billie Eilish.
Yeah. Sure. It would appear we have some feedback from my new wife, Lauren, writes in, regarding Russ's Jammy Jams, there are so many underrated Paul Simon solo material out there. Happy to hear me and Julio down by the schoolyard got a shout out. Personally, I bop to Kodachrome every chance I get. And what's funny about that feedback is that she left that feedback for us like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago. And then I kid you not, we were in the car yesterday and Kodachrome came on and she, in fact, started bopping like immediately when the song came out.
Like, she writes you in. Aren't you married now? Like, shouldn't she just like open up the door and tell you? Like, you make her like mail you letters?
Oh, she shares a lot of feedback with me on the show. I just don't say all of that. She shares she shares the nicer stuff on social media.
What's the nice stuff?
Rounding out the feedback from last week's episode, Garrett writes in once again about the album Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish. This is an incredible album. You guys did it justice and it deserves a spot on everyone's shelf, which I totally agree with. If you're interested in listening to myself and Richie from Super Media Brothers go on and on and on about what a fantastic album that is, you can listen to last week's episode of the program where that is exactly what we did for the entire episode of the show. Having said that, we always share what we've been listening to lately and we call that segment... Our Jammy. I have been having a very mid-90s thing happening to me for I don't know what reason. And Michelle, I'll tell you in advance, you're going to get really mad about one of these specifically. But, well, actually, if I say I was on a mid-90s kick, Michelle, what group do you think you're going to be mad about?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. But I only have one song from them, and it's not the one you expect. But
I don't expect any of them.
Right. Hailing from Chicago, the Smashing Pumpkins. I have been all about the song Today and the song Bullet with Butterfly Wings lately, both of which I loved when they came out. And actually, at least Bullet with Butterfly Wings, I just absolutely ran into the ground myself when it was first out. Like, I went through like 10 years where I was like, oh, I don't think I ever have to hear that song again. You know, but I just love this song Today, and I always have, so that's been in my head. And then the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I don't hate them like Michelle does, but I don't love them either. But they did a record with Dave Navarro on guitar that was really like critically panned and didn't do very well. But there was a ballad off of that record called My Friends that I get stuck in my head every so often. And I just dig that song. Like, I don't know why. I think maybe the Smashing Pumpkins led into that. And then the third song that was on my Jammy Jams goes back to a couple of years before those other ones that I mentioned. But another group that people absolutely love, and I don't have a huge problem with, but I don't love a lot of what they do, or I don't love them near as much as other people do, is the group Soundgarden. And the first song that I heard from Soundgarden was Outshined. And that is a song I will never, ever, ever get sick of. It's not even that different from the stuff they did later. I don't know if it's just I heard that one and love that, or what. But so it's been a very early to mid 90s type of thing for me. And it's very unexpected for me to have a Red Hot Chili Pepper song stuck in there. But I think that one record in particular is really underrated because Dave Navarro kind of suffered from not being John Frusciante. Like, people were just, you know, upset that it wasn't John. And so the record didn't do very well, which happens a lot with bands.
What happened to John?
At the time he had just quit the band. He's back with them now, but at the time he had just kind of walked away. It was one of those things where, like, John Frusciante kind of didn't join the Chili Peppers to become the biggest thing ever. And then they did, you know, and he was kind of like, yeah, this is not what I signed up for.
What do these people think they're signing up for?
I don't know. I have opinions on that as well, but that's a whole other topic.
You don't want to be successful?
Yeah, I know. Me personally, I always liked when there was an interview with Noel Gallagher in like the late 90s where he was like, if I got to see Eddie Vedder complain one more time about being famous, he's like, if you don't want the women and the money and the drugs, then send them to us. Which I think is a good compromise, you know?
That is, and that's a great quote.
Yes, it is. Dave, what have you been listening to? Now, here comes, there's going to be some hostility here because Dave's got some air to clear with his Jammy Jams.
I've been listening to three. First, after the recent episode that you had on Billie Eilish, I wanted to play it. So I stopped my podcast listening for the day and played the record.
I was going to share that in feedback. Good. And I was like, I'm going to share that in feedback, but then Dave's going to be sitting right there. So I'll just let him tell us.
So no, I did. I listened to it and I didn't hate it, but I don't know if I'm her target audience. And a lot of it didn't resonate with me. I like her voice. I like her style, but a lot of it's just something that, as a 55-year-old male, I don't relate to Not My Responsibility and other tracks off right. of that. So it was decent, but I just don't think it's for me.
So you're somewhere in between me and Seth on this record.
Correct.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. But at least you gave it a shot, unlike some people who write in feedback without actually listening to the record. I don't want to name names, but that happened. Having said that, what else were you listening to?
After that, I needed to kick it up a notch, so I went back to the early 2010s and listened to the first Joy Formidable record, which I still love to this day, every track on that. So I listened to the first Joy Formidable record a lot this week.
Man, that is a name that I haven't heard in easy 13 years until you just said it. If you would have, my life would have depended on remembering the name of that band, I wouldn't have. And then as soon as you said it, I was like, son of a bitch, I remember. What a great record.
Yeah, that was a great record. I saw him at Lollapalooza, never heard of him before. It was the 11 o'clock in the morning slot that they were there. And I went and I'm like, just absolute blown away. I've probably seen them like 10 or 12 times since then. But that first record still nice. Slaps to me.
Yeah. I dig it. So let's now that the niceties are out of the way, and I already know what your third one's going to be, why don't you tell us whose amazing voice you've been listening to?
I've been listening to the wonderful voice of Karen Carpenter.
You're damn right.
How the fuck can you just think she's eh?
And she
superstar
said it twice.
By Karen Carpenter.
She said it twice on the show. She said it once, and then when you had feedback,
she doubled
she said
down.
It again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all right. Yeah.
So I had to listen to some Karen Carpenter.
You had to fix my boo-boo.
Just a wonderful voice.
I mean,
it's schlock, early 70s rock, but her voice is still incredible. And Superstar would be in any of my top 10 lists of like best records ever.
I mean, it's just all right.
So yeah. Here's my thing, though. And I know you didn't mean this in like an overly insulting way, Dave, but like the, you know, the singer-songwriter stuff of the 70s. Like you said, it's a lot of sugary pop, right? But man, if I'm going to listen to sugary pop, I want that woman singing it. You know, oh, her voice. It's just...
Exactly.
I know. We may have even discussed this on the show or not, and I assume you know this, Dave. I did not come into the knowledge that she was an incredible drummer until like 5 years ago. And if you haven't seen that, go on YouTube and just type Karen Carpenter drumming and you will not believe your eyes.
No, she's a phenomenal drummer. I mean, you see like there's YouTube clips of her just like playing and she's a great drummer too.
Yeah, yeah. I was stunned that I didn't know that. So, Michelle, add that to your list of incredible voice from Karen Carpenter and also amazing drummer. Please add that to your list.
To what list?
To your list of great things you think about Karen Carpenter.
Oh, I don't have that list.
I'm very aware. Having said that, come down from the mountaintop of all things that are as good or better than Karen Carpenter and tell us what your jammy jams have been, Michelle.
I have two.
Oh,
they're
boy.
They're new songs.
Ooh.
Parker Millsap dropped a couple singles.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah. Didn't he just have a record come out?
About a year and a half ago.
No.
Yeah. Well, I interviewed him like a year ago and the record was already out by then.
No.
Okay.
So one of the singles is, I think it's, there's three altogether, but the single that is my jam is called So Far Apart. And it's just, it's more of his last record, which I don't mind. So if you're into the last record or even Parker Millsap at all, I think you'll like it. So I know Russ won't check it out, but other people should.
I will once the album comes out.
What if it's never going to be an album?
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
How would you know you came to it? Anyways.
I will rely on you to tell me.
And then the other one is somebody who is somebody who's on, like, never on my radar, but I've liked everything I've heard. Hozier.
Oh, yeah. A sidebar. You know, we've actually talked about this recently. I can't believe I can't think of his name right now. The guy that's the lead singer of The Darkness, Justin.
I don't know.
Hawkins?
Harkness.
Yeah.
Harkness or, yeah, Hawkins. Yeah.
He's got a great YouTube channel where he discusses all things music. And I just watched a video today of him going on about how much he loves the new Hozier song.
Oh, yeah. It's called Eat Your Young, and it's great. And it just, like Parker Millsap, it's more Hozier, which I feel like he's been gone for a little bit. I don't know, maybe he put something out that nobody liked, but I haven't really heard much of him recently until now. And so I really like the new single, and I'm hoping the album is great.
Cool. Well, you know, I don't mind listening to one or two singles before a record, but I like to wait till the whole thing's out to hear more than one or two songs. So I'll probably check out at least the one Parker Millsap song and the one Hozier song, and then see when
whoa
new record's coming out.
Don't go overboard.
Like, here's my thing. Like, literally today, like an hour before we're recording, I just found out Wolfgang Van Halen just dropped a new single. But it was like, the new single's out and the whole album's coming out in August. Like, I know Grandpa's from a different time, but like, that's how I like it.
Yeah, that's not how it works anymore.
Which is sad. Good thing I'm getting out of the music podcasting business. Kids are changing stuff too much for me, you know?
Yeah, too bad you're still in the YouTube music business, so...
Yeah, but I'm just talking about old music back when music didn't suck.
You said music doesn't suck now.
I'm just kidding. I was looking for far more of a reaction from you than that. Really, really quite upset. So
I'm sorry.
I know. Even though Michelle doesn't believe in Karen Carpenter, she's going to be nice enough to put some of Karen Carpenter's songs on the playlist this week, along with the other artists that Dave and I spoke about that were our jammy jams. And then, of course, all two jammy jams from Michelle will be on the playlist this week, which is great. I mean, that's double your output of your jammy jams for some weeks.
Yeah, and it's two new things.
Like,
I haven't found new things.
I know. I get all excited.
Double time for this, right?
Yeah.
Michelle's getting way overpaid for this episode. Yeah. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get into the main topic of this discussion, of this episode's discussion, rather, which is, do artists' lives personal matter? Personal lives matter. And we have a couple of different questions that we're going to talk through as a group here and see what we can work out on that topic. You are listening to the Infectious Groove Podcast on the Odd Pods Media Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Shannon.
I'm Jamie.
We're Married with Television, marriedwithtv.com. We are a couple of Hollywood normies on the outskirts of the film and TV industry, and we talk about our favorite TV shows, music, and movies, and sometimes they talk back to us.
Sometimes they do.
Our podcast is Married with Television, one word, on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Possibly Amazon soon. And we are a proud member of the Odd Pods Media Network.
Married with TV.
MarriedwithTV.com.
I'm Richie, a.k.a. Midnight Agent Raw.
I'm Devin, a.k.a. Special Delivery Dev.
We're the Super Media Bros Podcast. And each week, we give a comedically informative take on movies,
music,
television,
pro wrestling,
and much more. Check us out at SuperMediaBrosPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can listen to podcasts. Shades on.
We're off.
We are back. It's Michelle and Russ from the Infectious Groove Podcast. And along with us this week is our friend Dave, who does the Beer in Front podcast. And I stop off at the beginning of the show to give you a chance to talk about your show. And I was remiss and did not do that. Everybody should Everybody should hear your promo that runs in the show. And longtime listeners of our show know you from our show. But basically, if somebody's looking for a good, honest opinion on beers from all across the world, really, then they're looking for your show, right?
Exactly. You could find me everywhere. If you're listening to this podcast, then you could search for mine and find it there. Do a small YouTube channel. I don't have all the yellow submarines like you do. I have far fewer subs. But do a small YouTube thing and trying to work into TikTok. But yeah, mostly talking about old school beers, city of Chicago. And then I branch out like today. Russ joined me for a two-part episode on pizza.
Oh, yeah. Dave, what did we talk about on your current episode?
Detroit-style pizza and
the myth
buddies
that is Detroit-style pizza. Yeah, yeah.
Correct, yes.
Wait, you're agreeing to it now?
No, I said the myth that is Detroit-style pizza. Yeah.
I'm drinking a beer from Chicago, from Short Fuse.
Short Fuse. They're right outside.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty close to the airport.
Yeah, I went there on Thursday, and it was delicious.
You didn't like... I work at O'Hare. You were right in the neighborhood. You didn't call and say, "Hey, Dave, you here? Can you pop over after work? Say hi. Go to Short Fuse."
I was at the Tattoo Expo. Where were you?
I was at the airport. I was like 2 minutes away from the Tattoo Expo.
I'm sure you didn't work all weekend, so really, you should have came and saw me. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I was busy listening to Karen Carpenter, so sorry. My bad. Yeah.
My job's funner than your job.
Well, per usual, Michelle's making friends everywhere she goes. So anyways, as you know, Dave does a show all about beer, and you can listen to his show. One thing that I do love about your show is it seems, including this show, everybody feels the need to make their topics like an hour or longer, and Dave will give you quick hits on beer. So if you're looking, if you look at one of his episodes and you go, "Oh, I wonder about this beer," you're not going to listen to Dave ramble about other things for a half hour and then start talking about the beer for 5 minutes. You're going to get
so not like us.
Well, no, at least we're all music focused. There are podcasts out there that are like 2-3 hours long where it's like the host's rambling about other things that have nothing to do with, you know, the topic at hand. So if you're looking And my thing is, if you're looking for a beer, you're going to want to hear a quick hit on it. You know, you're not going to want to it's the type of thing you could even bring up one of Dave's episodes. If you were standing at like Total Wine, you could bring it up and get his take on a beer quickly.
I see.
Whereas nobody would ever ask you if they were in a record store, Michelle, what to buy. So, you know, that's really the difference.
What's a record?
I bet you would like to know. The topic that we are going to talk about this week has to do with something that we've covered before. We've talked before extensively about different things to do with like MJ. We've talked about things to do with like Marilyn Manson, R. Kelly, and that type of thing. But a lot of what we've discussed in the past has to do with like when somebody gets full on canceled, like they do something, either they say something at an award show or they, you know, post something on Twitter or whatever. Like for example, what happened with the Mumford and Sons, like the one guy posted a tweet and, you know, now he's no longer a son in the Mumford and Sons.
I mean, there are no sons, so.
Right. So what we're talking about here today is things where you find out, you know, about something, somebody's, something about an artist's personal life. So maybe the artist hasn't even been canceled, but it, you know, we're talking about like if what people do in their personal lives matter to you at all. And I think that this can be, I would rather it focus down on music, but this can be like a wider discussion. Like you hear about now, politics and religion are talked about like all the time. And you hear about people saying they won't do business with like this person if they vote for that person or if they believe this or whatever. Right. So I don't see how that wouldn't apply to music or an artist as well. But that's what we're going to talk through. So the first question that I have for you guys, and Dave, I'm going to go to you first on this, and then we'll kind of talk through each of our points on it, has there been a point in your life where you've actually actively stopped listening to an artist because of something you heard about like them in their personal life?
Absolutely. And it's not just music, it's sports, it's everywhere else. But no, definitely, like R. Kelly for sure was one. Yeah. I don't care how great of a songwriter you are.
Right.
It's been known forever. I mean, how long ago was the Chappelle show with, you know, Piss on You? That was
right,
what,
yeah.
20 years ago. Everyone knew about R. Kelly. So, yeah, he's definitely one of them. There's a couple others. Like, I stopped listening to Kanye after the whole Taylor Swift thing at the awards,
yeah.
Him dissing Beck. And then, you know, now even later with like his most recent stuff. Yeah. And there's other artists too, but no, there's definitely like a line. And I don't know where that line is. I think that line's different with everybody and the line always moves. But once you cross it, I'm done.
You know what? That's a good point too. I think that a lot of people don't realize that each person is allowed to have their own line. You know what I mean? Like, for example, and I was going to have Michelle go next, but I'll just touch on a couple of things here real quick. One, like when you said Kanye, I don't disagree with that at all. But also, I'm a Kanye singles guy. Like I know Gold Digger and like four or five other songs, right? Like, so I would never actively seek out a Kanye West record. Like I wouldn't buy one now, but I never did either. Right. You know what I mean? And that's like Chris Brown is one where I have a real hard line on. Like, I will never forget seeing the pictures of what he did to Rihanna. Like, I'll never forget seeing those. And I didn't even actively seek them out. They were just around, right?
Yeah.
So I don't mean to get on a high horse and be like, I'm not going to listen to Chris Brown, because I really didn't in the first place. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you one that I struggle with. And this, for me, this is a big one, is John Lennon. If you look into John Lennon's personal history at all, you uncover some real problems real quick. And, you know, I haven't thrown away my Beatles records, but, you know, at the same time, anytime I hear All You Need Is Love, part of me is like, really? Really? All you need is I bet there's a couple of people we could talk to find out that you weren't so loving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, didn't he go out for buy a pack of cigarettes and came back a year later?
Well, yeah, you have that. You have a couple of domestic abuse cases against him. You know, I struggle with that. You know, and then that goes down a whole other rabbit hole of, you know, well, Lennon and McCartney are 50% of the greatest songwriting duo of all time. So it's like, well, you know, can you disown the entirety of the McCartney catalog because John had a hand in this, that, or the other song, right? Like you take a song like Eleanor Rigby. It's dicey on who wrote what on that song, but it's like, you know, do you discount that just because you have a problem with John Lennon? You know what I mean? So, and it's, and I have, when you said that about the line, that's what triggered me about the John Lennon thing, because I don't know where my line is with that, you know. And I'm the same person who's like, well, I saw the pictures of Rihanna and I'll, you know, I can't listen to Chris Brown actively, right? But then somehow I've made that fuzzy for myself with John Lennon, who by all accounts did the same things twice.
Yeah.
So Michelle, is there an artist that you've actively stopped listening to because of something you found out about them personally?
So same as you, there's not really anyone that I was actively listening to, but like when Morgan Wallen, I don't know how you say it, but when he decided to scream the N-word and then double down and was like, yeah, no, I said that. Like, that's what I said. I just, it's sad. Not that I listen to even the country, it just has one song that I like. And I was like, that's sad because I really like that one song.
But like, now, what you're saying though is now you wouldn't, if that, I guess we like, where's your line on that? So if you had a playlist and it was just not a playlist you made, you're just playing a playlist and you can control the music, right? I'm not talking about being in public and the music's on. would you, if you, would you get up and like change your Spotify from that song, or would you just not actively put it on?
I would just not actively put it on.
Gotcha.
It's come up on stuff, and I don't hate the song, but it makes me sad when I hear it that it, yeah. that he is behind
I,
it.
I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say this. From what I know of you, of a human being, the two words that offend you more than anything is the N word. And then with respect to mental disabilities, the R word, like when someone throws that around.
And the bad F word.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have said three. But yeah. And so I feel like as soon as somebody has those involved, you're kind of like, I don't want to know anything about you anymore.
Yeah. But also, okay. So in respect to Chris Brown, I also, don't love someone who beats on other people.
Right. Right.
But at what point?
I didn't mean to say that those were like the only three things you don't tolerate. I just meant.
No, but I'm asking you, at what point do you think that they don't, you don't believe that people can change?
No, I do. I do. And
I'm not defending it, by the way. Just asking, like, at what point, like, obviously R. Kelly is just a serial, whatever he's got going on. Like, that's something different. But like, and I've never beat somebody, but I'm just saying, like, at what point do you think that people can change? Or do you think, like, if he repeatedly did it and it was in the news, then obviously, like, I would nip that in the bud. And also, I don't really like Chris Brown either. I'm just asking a general question. Like, at what point do you think that people, like, can actually change and then they go on and earn so your respect?
The only example I have of that, and I don't know any of these people, but, like, and I'll get you in on this, Dave. John Mayer. So John Mayer famously used the N-word in a Rolling Stone interview at what I
but call, not derogatorily. Not that he should have said it.
No, yeah. Well, he used the word when he shouldn't have said it.
No, for sure. But I'm saying I think that he was trying to be funny, and I'm not saying that it was okay, because it definitely wasn't okay.
Right.
But I think there's a big difference with way some people say it and some people
don't.
Anyways.
I agree that what he said is different than what Morgan Wallen said. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But I feel the first thing John Mayer did was take time off from everything. And then the next thing, and again, and I've said this repeatedly on the show, you're talking to a guy that's not even a big John Mayer fan. So I'm not being like, let me defend John Mayer. But like, then the next thing he did was put out a record that should have been called, I'm Sorry I Was a Douchebag. Like the whole record is him being like, holy crap, I suck. You know, and the dude, from what I can tell, has done everything to like rehabilitate himself. Would you agree? Do you think that, Dave? Do you think that John Mayer has like done what he can to try and rehabilitate himself?
Yeah, I think he did. And I don't know, maybe the three of us are the wrong people to ask here, but it seemed like he did his part to sincerely apologize, to repent and learn from his mistakes.
Mm. I'm all for that. If somebody wants to learn from something, I'm all for it. You know,
I know like a lot of people outside of music, like to this day, still hate Michael Vick, and I'm the biggest dog lover there is, but he did his time. He's done a ton of stuff afterwards to help animals. So like while what he did is totally abhorrent, you know, I think he did his part to like rehabilitate himself. So
right.
I would give him a second chance as well.
Yeah. Huh. So here's, I guess, and we got a couple more points to discuss here. One of them is, and I put this question more in because of the way I was raised and the way that I come into this type of stuff. And I'm going to start with you on this, Michelle, because this is one of those things where I think I know your answer, but you may surprise me. Is, do you even seek out personal information on the artists, or it's hard. Like I put as my question, would you rather not know or listen? But that implies ignorance is bliss. And I don't think that you want to be an ignorant person, but do you ever seek out personal information, or does this stuff just kind of come to you about the artists?
I don't even know who these people are half the time. And like, you know, if their name's not in the front, Nathaniel Ratliff for Marcus Mumford, like, I don't know who you are. So I don't ever seek out information usually like about anybody, any celebrity. However, if it's water cooler talk, if it's all over my, social media, if it's when I open, Google News, it's right there. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to be like, that's just not for me, and I'm going to read it. So
right.
I guess it just depends on how bad the offense was before, it gets to me. Like, I'm not going to search for somebody's negatives because I don't want them to come look at me.
Well,
either.
No. Yeah. Glass houses and whatnot. Yeah.
Right.
But okay. So here's the reason why I brought this question up. Why it pertains to me is because, like, when I was a kid, the way I was raised, Casey Kasem was as much of a parent to me as both of my parents. Like, I learned as much in life from Casey Kasem as I did both of my parents. And if you ever listen to any old Casey Kasem countdowns, and Dave, this is more you and I's era than Michelle's. But if you listen to old Casey Kasem countdowns, this guy didn't just go, hey, here's the new Van Halen single off their record. He would tell you a whole story about how they wrote the song and how Dave walked into a bar and said this to somebody and this other thing happened and cut to Panama, right? Like that. So that's how I was raised, was to like, no. And then Michelle, to put it in your backyard, you take like a band that we're fortunate to know as well as we do, like the Lone Bellow. Isn't it nice to know like what Brian Zach or Kanine were thinking when they wrote this song, or what, how it applies to their life directly? Like, at least for me, I like to know that. It makes the song land more, right? Or at least for me.
I think that if you were not involved and I just was listening to the Lone Bellow, I don't need to know those.
Yes, but you are in that situation though.
I do think it adds to the music, but I don't think that I would. Obviously there's a shit ton of music that I'm into that you're not, and right. I don't need to know everything.
Right. No. Okay. Okay. And that could very well be a generational thing. Like when you grew up.
What are you trying to say?
You grew up. You're younger than I am, is what I'm trying to say. And you look fantastic for your age. But no, I'm just kidding. like you grew up in the TRL era, which is, hey, everybody, Christina has a new song. Here's her song. Right. Whereas Dave and I grew up in the era of Casey Kasem would tell you a 5-minute story about Carole King before you got to hear the cut. The other guy from MTV?
Yeah, the old guy.
There was a plethora.
He sitted the news.
Kurt Loder.
Yeah.
Kurt Loder's 80.
Shut the fuck up.
My God. Dave, I'm going to desperately try to continue the point that I was making when we had to stop off for who the other guy is from MTV, which, by the way, fantastic. Very astute listener of Dave to know where Michelle's head was to immediately come up with Kurt Loder, by the way.
The old guy who did the news.
Dave, do you think
like one big super brain here?
Yeah. Do you think I'm crazy on that, or do you think that is a generational thing? Like in your and I's day and age, people wanted to hear more of the behind the scenes stuff, and now people don't.
Yes. While you wanted to hear about that, it's also it's a generational thing where we didn't have the internet then, where we could research this, or we couldn't just Google Carole King.
Is it because you guys didn't have talkies?
Yes.
Yeah. We didn't have the
information films. Wasn't there for us. I mean, we were lucky to, you know, maybe get something in the weekend section of the newspaper or Rolling Stone magazine every other week, or maybe, you know, a magazine like Cream or something like that. The info wasn't there for us to get.
Now, and then to me, it's such a double-edged thing because now, like Michelle said, water cooler, right? Water cooler was not a thing for music back in the day. Like people did not walk up into work and be like, did you hear what David Lee Roth did? Like they just, that's not what people talked about. Now that's all entertainment is water cooler talks. And we're in this state of the reason why celebrities get in trouble on Twitter is because celebrities shouldn't use Twitter. Like they shouldn't, we don't need to know your every waking moment. It's like that line in that movie, Easy A. I don't know what your generation's fascination is with sharing their every thought, but I assure you they're not all diamonds, you know? Okay. So let me say this, Michelle. So you go into work, you're standing at the water cooler and somebody goes, did you hear what X artist did? Holy cow. Like I'm never listening to them again. Would you go Google it to at least see if what they're saying is complete horseshit?
Well, I'd probably ask you. And then I definitely wouldn't
Which
ask
is the
that
same
person.
As Googling it.
I wouldn't ask that person because I don't want to look stupid. So I'd always just nod and be like, yeah, totally. Isn't that fucking weird? And then I would just like say,
no, yeah. Well, I'm not talking about how you're looking in front of other people. I'm talking about like,
making a joke.
I know, but I'm saying you would not instantly go, well, guy at the water cooler said this guy did this, so I'm not listening to that artist anymore. You would at least seek out the truth for you. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that like 90% of the people that I talk to, I'm convinced that they're just talking bullshit. Like I fact check a lot of things. I like to prove people wrong. It's like my favorite pastime. So.
Oh, I'm aware.
Say that word.
I'm aware of it.
Nope. The other one.
What else did I say that
the one that you said you say wrong.
Oh, nope, not going to do it. Nope, that was for a group chat. That's not for here on the show. And who knows?
I have internet connections. I didn't hear it.
Oh. He didn't say it.
So when we get into the, like, information and too much information now, do you think that there is a racial divide on this? Because I have had opinions on this in the past, and I have a different opinion now. So we'll start with Dave on this. Do you think that artists are treated in the press about their personal lives different based on their race?
Absolutely. Yep. I believe so. I still think the majority of the press is older Caucasian people who may not understand what it's like to be a African-American person in their
20s. Yeah. Or so, any minority to be.
Yeah. So they may not agree with what this celebrity is doing and write about it negatively, which makes everyone else think negatively of this person. But, you know, the person's younger than us, has a totally different background. Let them be, as long as they're not peeing on somebody like R. Kelly. Let them do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. So Michelle, as soon as Dave started answering, you started shaking your head up and down very, very vigorously. So you have thoughts on this?
So yeah, 100% they treat different races differently. For instance, there was I don't know if I told you about this, probably a couple months ago, there was I don't know if the correct term was rap group. There was a couple of rap artists that played the shelter, or were supposed to play the shelter, and that's downtown Detroit, and they never showed up, and they were missing. And the news said, you know, local rap guys, you know, like, missing.
Right.
And you know that they use that term rap derogatively. Like, they're not using it to be like, look at these stars, you know, like, they're using it.
In a way, this is radio for one, but Michelle knows this. There used to be I don't know if they still do it, but there used to be a station in Detroit that Michelle and I made fun of that would play pop. And they would say, and you, Michelle, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
They had a bumper that would go 96.3, all today's hot hits without the rap. Like, they
would literally
like
take
rap,
the raps.
Yeah.
Lyrics out of songs. Like, if there was like a rap interlude, they would cut it out.
The one that I first noticed that on was Bang Bang by, I always say by Nicki Minaj and, like, cause I think of Nicki Minaj first, and then they would play a version without Nicki Minaj in it. But this was as soon as recent as 5 years ago, the tone of that without the rap, you know, like, we need to get,
they don't do that anymore. I have a feeling I know why, probably because I got in trouble, but
But so you agree 100%.
I mean, I agree 100%. And this was also, I was reading an article, but you could just infer from the title that it wasn't, you know, five artists go missing in Detroit.
Right.
You know, if they wouldn't say five folk artists, they wouldn't say five, you know, singer songwriters. Hey. They would, you know, like, they're saying it because they want you to know that they think that they're thugs.
So,
you know, which is
this,
ridiculous.
This will lead into the final question that we're going to discuss. But I think of myself as a fairly intelligent person who's, like, tries to perceive as much of the world around me as I can. And until, I want to say within the last 2 years, I didn't really think that that was a thing. Like, I didn't notice it, that there was bias. Okay. And the thing that is, and this is what's going to lead into our last point, but there are so many issues with white artists over the last 50 years. And we never hear about any of them. And I'm going to again, I think I'm doing a good job of leaving MJ out of this so far. But what one thing I'll point out is the incredible difference between how the press has treated Prince since he passed and how David Bowie has been treated since he passed. David Bowie received angel status immediately. He was sainted by the press, and we can never have a bad word about David Bowie, who openly had a lot of issues that should be talked about and dealt with. And people should learn that, like, yes, David Bowie had some good music, but he also did some bad things. And we should learn from that example to not do those bad things. Prince, on the other hand, nearly every time they can dig up something on Prince that's negative, they throw it out there. And it's like, what is the problem here? Like, you're literally dealing with, like, a self-made gajillionaire who taught himself how to play every instrument, you know, directed movies, made, it's 40 some records before he passed, but, like, we have to point out bad things about Prince. And I, like, it really, in the past couple of years, And quite literally, don't even get me started on how MJ's treated against how, you know, people in Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin who have done awful things to people of all ages. But we never hear about any of that. Right.
Well, what's the difference between Chris Brown and John Lennon? I feel like their skin colors might.
Well, exactly. There you go. There's a perfect.
I'm not calling you racist. I feel like that I just came out as calling you, and I didn't mean that.
I appreciate it. If you could just call me racist off air, that'd be much better for me.
It's not what I meant. As soon as I said it, I was like, he's going to take this.
No,
wrong.
I didn't. Hopefully no one else did. I didn't. So that leads into my thing, though. And actually, you bringing up John Lennon and Chris Brown is a perfect segue into. Do you think that the time and era that these happen in matter? Now, give me.
Yes.
Okay.
It was okay to beat your wife for a long time.
No. Should that be a thing, though?
Like to be considered?
Yes. Okay. So you're saying, well, like for the longest time, these things were acceptable and kept behind closed doors, right? So that's why we never talked about
it. And
them.
Even if you heard about it, you were like, yeah, my husband beats me too. You know, like I feel like that
okay,
was.
Okay. But common. Looking at things retroactively, though. I was going to throw it to Dave first, but Michelle's pretty fired up about this, Dave. So I'm going to ask you to hang on a second. Turns out the woman's going to get all upset over this topic. But, okay, Michelle, so do you think, for example, if we look at Aerosmith or Led Zeppelin through a retroactive lens of what is acceptable today, you can never listen to another Aerosmith song in your life.
Oh, what did they do?
Oh, boy. You need to do some Googling. It's not good. No. It's not good.
Steven Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
But that, so do we say.
Well, what did Led Zeppelin do?
I say this not to be funny. It involves fish, like the actual, actual fish. You can Google that story and you'll be real unhappy. So here's my question, though. Do we look at that and
maybe
say.
Ignorance is bliss.
That's what I'm asking. So do we say grandpa was from a different time and those things were allowed then?
Well, I don't know these things. And so for me personally, I think that if I were to go down these rabbit holes, I would never stop. And I physically don't have the, I'm not saying ignorance, but I'm saying I physically don't have the mind capacity to be like, well, let me check every artist I like and find out if they're an actual good person.
Right, right.
But like, if you were to tell me things and I know that they're true, I would take that into serious consideration when I listen, if I were to listen to these artists again. Does that make sense?
No, it does. But I wonder how much of those things in the past is a race issue and how much of it is the press going, well, grandpa's from a different time. So we won't talk about that anymore. You know, plus there's a lot of companies, there's a lot of companies in control that have vested interests in the Beatles still being a viable thing. You know what I'm saying? So Dave, you've been shaking your head a lot on a lot of things here, and I want to get you in on this. So taking it back to the top of it, do you think that people are glossing over things from other eras, or do you think people just haven't started looking into that yet?
I think it's a little of both, and like the glossing over, look at from the 50s, Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, he was banging and then married his 13-year-old cousin.
No.
And, you know, people, and there was outrage then. Don't get me wrong. There was outrage, but
I swear,
30 years later, we make movies about it.
I'm not trying to be funny, but Michelle, did you just learn that just now?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. Well, and also real quick, just so this isn't a shocker, there's a reason why his nickname was the Killer also.
Yeah.
By the way. Aww. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but Dave, yeah. So there was outrage when that occurred, but then look when Jerry Lee Lewis just passed. And I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead, but people like celebrated Jerry Lee Lewis as if we all don't know what happened. Well, all of us but Michelle don't know what happened.
Yeah. It's glossed over. Yeah. No, but you can't forgive that. And, you know, I was born after he was popular, but once I found out, I'm like, is this like somebody I want to listen to? Not that I listened to him a lot, but you know, Great Balls of Fire came on the Oldies Channel. Oh, okay, that's a good song. Yeah. But now it's like, no, that's skeevy. You mentioned Van Halen earlier. I mean, look at David Lee Roth with the paternity tests and the insurance, and everyone kind of giggled about it in the 70s and 80s, like, oh, he's just a rock star, you know, banging groupies. And now you look at it, if this were to happen to like a current artist or a current artist of color, shunned.
Oh my
that
lord
would be called, like, you wouldn't believe, you would never hear of that person again.
Do you think that this comes back to being able to separate their personal life from their music? Like, maybe not defending him. Maybe Jerry Lee Lewis's music was amazing, but he was a fucking shitty person. Like, can that be separated at that point?
It can, because people still listen to it.
But do you think the people who listen to it know?
I think probably anyone older than 40 knows.
Oh, Michelle just made the cut.
Shut the fuck up.
That's why she doesn't know. Well, let me say this. Okay, for me personally, there's a lot that I can excuse by separating the art from the artist. Okay, and you two have heard me talk about this before, and this is where I will bring MJ into it. What Michael Jackson has been accused of, I would never be able to separate the art from the artist. Like, if I thought that he had done that, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's another thing of the old speeding ticket defense, right? Of like, well, that everybody else was speeding, you know, like, but I'm the one that got pulled over, right? Whereas I feel like if you're Steven Tyler or Dave Bowie, you can be like, well, everybody else in the 70s was doing that shit too, though. You know what I mean? Like, so at one point you have to make exactly that judgment call that Dave's saying of like, can you separate the art from the artist? Like, for me, Chris Brown, that dude, I don't know, maybe someday he'll get rehabilitated or whatever, but like, I personally have a real strong stance on what he did that one time, and I'm very, like, I just have a strong stance on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really listen to him either, so it's, I get it.
Yeah, but I just, you know.
But John Lennon's cool.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why one of the first points I brought up is I have a struggle with John Lennon. For me, you know, and it has to do with, if it was just like, I personally have never been a big fan of John Lennon's solo stuff, right? I just haven't. Like, it has nothing to do with what he did personally. I just don't like his solo stuff a lot. But like the Beatles stuff that he did, McCartney's like 50% of those songs. So like, how do you just say, I'm not going to listen to Eleanor Rigby because one half of the guys that wrote it is an asshole, or I mean, much worse than an asshole, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so to round us out on this last call, Dave, does that matter to you, like, when it happened? Like, are you more forgiving of a David Lee Roth for when he was up to no good as opposed to if a new artist, because I feel strongly that you should know better by now comes into it as well. Like, I think a lot of those guys nobody knew how to be a rock star when they were coming up as rock stars.
Yeah, and I don't know if I was in his position in my early 20s and, you know, making millions of dollars and having people throw themselves at you, I don't know that I would be any different
right
than he was back then in his early 20s.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier that line moves a lot, and, you know, that's probably a personal thing with me where it should be more concrete.
Yeah.
But I do feel in like cases like that, or like Led Zeppelin, or, you know, probably any other rock and roll band in the early 70s, the line moves, and I'm more inclined to forgive that than that's probably on me.
No, I agree. And to be clear, that's one of the reasons why this episode is titled the way it is do artists' lives personal matter? Like, it's not, or do artists' personal lives matter? It's not artists' personal lives shouldn't matter, or it's not artists' lives absolutely matter. This is literally meant for all three of us to be like, I don't know, you know, like, let's talk through this. And I realize fully, I knew going into this that our verdict of the three of us was going to end up being a collective, I'm not quite sure,
yeah, you know,
but it's also, we're not here to tell people what to do. We're just, if anything, I would love for somebody to listen to this episode and go, oh, I never thought about that. Or write us feedback and go, here's something you guys didn't mention. Right.
There's an artist that I particularly like, and I don't know enough about the details to even say it out loud, but it has to do with sleeping with underage fans. And I was growing up, like, I would have been that underage fan that artist would have slept with.
Yeah.
And let me tell you how many times I would have paid every dime in my pocket to sleep with that artist when I was underage. So, like, I just think that, you know, it depends on how you're looking at it. And was it right for either of us? No. Obviously, in hindsight, like, I wouldn't have done it, you know, like, if I could go back. But like, to vilify these people for things that, you know, we all probably would have done, not saying it's right or wrong, but like, I don't know, like you were saying, it is, you know, like, back in those days, it was fine. And things have changed. But that, I don't know. I don't know, things have changed. You didn't really think about things like that. You know, even when I was younger, I didn't think about things like that.
Yeah. And so now, yeah, it definitely, like I say, I went into this episode knowing that we were not going to come out and be like, well, Dave says they do matter and Michelle says they don't. Like, I knew we weren't going to come up, but I feel like this has been a very thought provoking discussion, you know, and exactly what you said, Michelle, like, that's, I, let me say without throwing the artist under the bus. You're talking about someone who was popular around 2004, 2005-ish, yeah. Correct? Okay.
Yeah.
A band that I have gone and seen in concert with you.
Yep.
Correct? Okay. So that's recent. That's way more recent than, you know, whatever Steven Tyler was up to in 75. You know, like that's approaching, hey, everyone maybe should have started to learn better by then. You know what I mean? But
for sure.
Yeah. But you also, like you said, though, you now are saying that then you absolutely would have gone along with that. So
150%. Like, yeah. You don't even, like, there's no doubt in my mind that, and I had friends of mine that did it with other artists that were older, you know, like I know people that happened to, and we were all thrilled for them. Like, yeah. So excited that this happened.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, obviously looking back, you're like, that was wrong. But I don't think that, and maybe this is me just trying to think the best of people, but I don't think you as a rock star, just you're not preying on women. I think that they're throwing themselves at you, you know, yeah. And like sometimes you don't stop and check their ID. I don't know. I'm not saying that it's right all the time.
You were going so far uphill for a second there, and then you just dropped completely off the cliff there at the end.
I know. I didn't mean it like that, no, but I'm saying I could just see how it happens, and I'm not saying it's right. It's obviously not right, but I'm just saying that I could definitely see, if, like you said, if someone handed me millions of dollars, how I could be a fuck up too, yep. You know?
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, I mean, artists from both sides of the political spectrum have been shunned, from like the Dixie Chicks to...
Yeah.
Kid Rock, for no matter like which side of the political aisle they fall on. Is that something that you guys look at as well?
I don't. I know Michelle does. I know, and I'm not saying you're wrong for that. We stand on completely opposite sides of the fence as far as that goes, but I like political views.
I don't think it would make me stop listening to an artist if I know their political views. I think that if they were an activist against things that I'm very passionate about, like women's rights and the right to choose and stuff like that, which does seem to go with one party, then that would make me not listen to an artist. But just because you voted for a certain person or whatever, you know, doesn't necessarily make or break it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll never listen to Kid Rock, so it's fine.
I was going to say, Kid Rock makes shitty music in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, he was shitty before he came out as, yeah, a Trumper,
before he opened his mouth as a Trump supporter. Yeah, he was already making, we should have known.
Sorry, Dave, I don't know who you voted for. I don't want to offend you.
No, we don't ever talk about that anyways. So, no. But yeah,
I just wasn't trying to offend him.
I want to thank you, Dave, for joining us for this, because I know I say this a lot when we cover certain topics, but I always leave it open to our guests to kind of pick what topic they want to come on for. And in the past, I have had to say to people, maybe that topic's not for you. But as soon as you signed up for this, I was like, Dave will have good thoughts on this topic. So,
Thank you. It was very fun.
Yeah, it was as fun as you can make this type of topic. It was.
God, and had I known you were here for the tattoo expo, I could have had the tramp stamp.
You could have.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have hooked you up.
Could have had her sign it and everything. So as we said earlier on the program, though, if you are interested in solid beer reviews that don't take all day and Dave walking through the finer points of beer, and I will say I am married to a person who knows far more about beer than I do, and you, in my opinion, you talk right in the middle. Like, you don't talk too far over my head of beer knowledge, but you still talk enough in a way where she gets what you're saying too. So I feel like your show is good for even people who are looking to get into craft beer, or people who know a lot about it. You strike a good balance, in my opinion. So
thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, no problem. We appreciate you coming on the show to be with us next week on the program. Man, Michelle, you're going to be upset. You're missing one of your favorite artists is involved in a totally epic cover battle. On the show next week, we are going to have Aaron from I Had to Say It come over and join us, another one of our favorites joining us on the program. And he will be talking through a totally epic cover battle for us with Gloria Gaynor versus one of Michelle's favorite bands, Cake, and the cover of the song I Will Survive, which was one of the only songs on the record that you didn't totally hate.
Accurate, but yeah. It's I don't even like the original anyway, spoiler alert, but I don't want to hear either of them again.
Fantastic. So that is coming up next week, and then, as Michelle said, we have a finite number of episodes of the program coming, and Michelle will be on every other one of those with me all the way through till the end. But like we always say about this time, without music, life would be a mistake. Bye.
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 The Infectious Groove Podcast is hosted by Russ Robinson, Kyle Wimple, and Michelle Kosolecki. Produced and edited by Russ Robinson. Intro and outro music composed by Chris Kimmel. Recorded with a Rode Podcaster Pro and Rode Pod Mics.